Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show Edge Rush in association with Betfred. Nat Coombs, producer all in the house. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, now remember, all first things first, composure, grace, understated behavior when we get into the ACCA of the week, dropping for 4 weeks in a row now.
It's actually incredible what we've managed to achieve so far with the Edge Rush ACCA. I'm surprised that hasn't made like national newspapers.
It hasn't?
No, it hasn't.
Devastated to hear that. Well, straight after this, I'm getting our PR guys on it. I'm getting emails fired out. I'm getting direct message tweets sent to national news reporters to get this sorted out. But hey, look, it's you know, selective positioning really on the pod, that we concentrate on all the bets that we win, and those that we don't win, we just skate over pretty quickly. But fair is fair. The ACCA is rolling right now.
No, it is rolling, but we do have to address the major topic. It's actually, this one has been making the national newspapers. Mm. Everyone's talking about it. Serious controversy in the world of the NFL. Mm. Why is a jet sweep counted as a pass, Nat?
Oh my God. So you messaged me about this the other day, and I spent a long time. It's like the old conundrum. If you eat yourself, do you become twice as big or do you disappear? I can't work it out. I would love one of our listeners to explain it to us. Cause the thing is, if I put that question to Iron Mike, for example, we'll get a 74-minute answer. And it'll be way over my head within the first 40 seconds, right? So we need, So I don't know. I mean, I wonder if it's something that will be addressed, because it's obviously for gambling, but also, does it have any impact on fantasy? I suppose it doesn't really, does it?
Because no, it doesn't necessarily have. Well, it does, I guess. It benefits if you've got that quarterback, because he gets a passing touchdown. But my issue with it, the reason we're talking about this, is because I would have gone 3-0 on my prop bets last week if Alvin Kamara's had got over 59.5 rushing yards. He had a 54 yards on the ground, but had a 20-yard jet sweep for a touchdown, which I assumed would count as a run, but it counted as a pass. But my major issue with this, Nat, is if a jet sweep counts as a completion and a pass for the quarterback in the NFL, I could probably enter the NFL and have like 50 yards.
which team would take you as an undrafted free agent? Maybe the Lions might pick you up.
The Lions might pick me up. I mean, I still think everyone is. I've had, again, going and more controversy. I had several texts on Tuesday morning, one from yourself, because I was claiming that there's no way the Bengals are going to score more than 3 points.
Yes.
Well, Ryan Finley, as much as I understood he ran for a big score, he only threw like 80 yards passing. So I still do not believe that Ryan Finley is in any way the sufficient replacement to Joe Burrow. So I think as long as I can just do jet sweeps every play, I could be caught back for the Bengals.
A fair point. But did you just say immediately preceding that you don't think Ryan Finley's a sufficient replacement for Joe Burrow? That's your hot take of the season.
But
I love it.
I woke up Tuesday morning and everyone's talking to me like the Bengals put up this incredible offensive display. No, we didn't. It was just an absolute deterioration from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. And we just took advantage of it. I mean, it was brilliant to watch. I found it incredibly entertaining. But when I was claiming that it was one of the biggest mismatches of the NFL season, this offensive line going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line, and we ran for more yards in that game than we did in the past four combined, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah, I did I'm just basically very defensive about it. It was a bad game.
Apparently so. Well, I'm glad that isn't one of the games that we have on our slate this week. We do have three, once again, our ACCA of the Week propos back with his prop bets as well. It's worth pointing out we're recording this, where are we now? Wednesday morning, right? So that's early doors for all of this, and in particular for prop bets. So do bear that in mind. But we're going to give it our best shot for you once again. Incidentally, on the ACCA of the Week, a lot of our listeners, by a lot, I mean a few, have fired in on social media a request for us to put the ACCA of the Week out as an Instagram story. We put it out as a video, of course, in our social channels at the NC Show. Our partners, Betfred, do that as well, of course. So you can follow either or there. But just to think in terms of text copy, also, we should probably let the boys on social know that we wanted us to put out what our three picks are as well. So note that down. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the feedback on the show, full stop. Glad you are enjoying it. Let's get down to business then. All right, where should we start? Should we start Kansas City, Atlanta? Why not?
Yeah, let's start with Kansas City versus the Atlanta Falcons. The Chiefs, 10.5-point favorites in this game, and the over-under is at 53.5. On paper, this looks like to be one of potentially the biggest mismatches of the season, especially in terms of the Kansas City possessing what I think most would agree is the best passing game in the league. Yep. Against the 31st ranked passing defense in the league in the Atlanta Falcons. And considering the KC can basically seal the first round bye in the playoffs with a win here, yep, people are expecting Mahomes to turn it on and this Kansas City team to romp to victory. And this is why this line has actually moved from -9.5 to -10.5 in recent days, is purely based off that fact. And also we watched the Falcons capitulate. Once again, they are also, since the start of the 2017 season, 0-7 against the spread and 1-6 straight up in road games against AFC teams. So a lot of people going against Atlanta Falcons here. Weirdly, though, Chiefs covered for the first time in 6 games against the Saints last week. So you would potentially say that they're not the best team to take with the points, but still the money is coming in on Kansas City.
Okay, a lot of great points there. I think capitulation is the, if there is one word you can apply to the Atlanta Falcons for this season, really for the last couple of years, it is that. One word, capitulators. But let's focus on the positives for a moment, right? They were 24-7 up. In fact, they shut out a Tampa Bay offense, which I know is Jekyll and Hyde. But nevertheless, they played well on both sides of the ball against Tampa Bay for a lot of the game. Now, they couldn't close it out. More usual Atlanta shenanigans, but this was an offensive rebound, really, re-up for Matt Ryan, who the defense has been playing well. It was offensively in recent weeks that hadn't been, right? And they look good for big chunks of that game. The flip side of that is, I think the Chiefs, and we talked about this with Greg Brady on our pod on Monday, didn't we? The Chiefs, I think, were better than the 3-point win suggested, right? I think that was, they were like 10 up with not a huge amount of time to go. So I think there is a lot to be said for the Chiefs perhaps playing at a higher level than sometimes the scoreline suggests and sometimes the narrative suggests. Again, a topic that we've got into in recent weeks, because they're such a freewheeling, expansive, exciting offense. If it isn't a 78-yarder to Tyreek Hill, then, oh, well, I'm not quite sure, you know, whether this is the Chiefs we know and love. And I think that is deceptive. They rank second in points per game. The Chiefs, Atlanta, are up to 25.4 a game. So I think this is a comfortable Kansas City win. But what I like on this moral is the over. And I know it's quite a high line, but I think we know, number one hot take narrative of the last year, you can run on the Chiefs. But I think that sets up well for Atlanta here. I think they'll be able to get some kind of ground game going. I think that'll benefit Matt Ryan. You've got Ridley, Julio, if he's fit, balling. I think, and Gage as well, I think they'll be able to land some blows on this Kansas City side. Now, I'm not sure about, and I'm keen on your perspective on the double-digit dog play here for Atlanta, because that seems a little bit tempting. But what I'm much stronger on is the over.
I like that play a lot, Nat, I have to say. The over is 5-0 in the last 5 meetings between these two teams. And I think that when it comes to the point spread, it's quite a difficult one, because I think for Kansas City, it's basically just going to be focusing on getting out, as they have done for the past couple of weeks, which we've discussed, is they've never looked like they're going to lose these games, which they only win by 3 points. But the one thing is they usually let in a backdoor cover. And I think that's my fear here. I think that Kansas City simply just want to win this game, get out, get that first round bye, move on. I don't think they have any interest in putting up or making this a double-digit win. I think it's going to be just another performance from Kansas City of just pure efficiency. But the one thing that we both know these teams do is offense. With Matt Ryan and the way he's playing with Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage, and then you've got Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins has been balling the past couple of weeks. Mecole Hardman's been playing well. Travis Kelce. I think we're going to have an absolute Christmas cracker this one, Nat. I think it's points, points, points.
Love it. We feel strong about that one. Okay, so the over is where we're going there. Which game are we headed to next?
Philadelphia, Dallas, Nat, is the one we're heading to next. The spread is currently at Philadelphia -1.5 favorites, and the over-under is at 48.5. Two teams that some would argue are hard to pick due to the fact that the Eagles are 5-9 against the spread. The Cowboys are 4-10 against the spread. And not looking good. Philadelphia is that they have failed to cover the spread in each of their last five road games. Where are you leaning in this one?
Well, I'd love to throw a stat back at you because we know that you always come present and correct with your stats, right? As we've established for weeks and weeks now. Propo, as soon as we finish recording and as soon as the pod is uploaded, he is just straight back, head down in the books. He's got, you know, six or seven different computer screens rolling, spitting out data old school on printers. Just boxes and boxes of data that Ollie goes through. So I feel like I need to step up and keep up a bit. So you'll like this one. Dallas 4-2 against the spread in their last six games. And they started the season 0-8 against spread. So trending in the right direction there, the Dallas Cowboys.
But they are 2-5 against the spread in home games this year.
Okay, like home and away means anything this year.
I like this stat tennis. I'm going to give another one. I'm going to go straight up. I'm going to reserve. The Cowboys are just 1-4 against the spread when an underdog by at least 2 points.
All right, give me one of those stats which talks about games played 11 years ago. Those are my those are my favorite ones.
I actually don't
have seven in the last 27 years. Okay. Look. Jalen Hurts, understandable why everybody is excited about him. I am. And you made the point, I think, last week that we were talking about that game. And you said it's particularly interesting because it's going to be Murray against Hurts, right? And hey, you were spot on with that soothsayer propo. It was one of the games of the weekend, right? Even though it didn't necessarily appear it would be on paper. So they've made Philly, he has made Philly, I should say, interesting again. Obviously, as a dual threat quarterback, that makes, I think, any game where you've got a capable dual threat quarterback in the mix, that extra bit exciting because there's just so many more options for what might happen on any given play. But it's more than that. He showed against Arizona that he's got an arm, 338 yards, three touchdowns, no picks crucially as well, which I thought was key and is a little bit overlooked there. He obviously can run and mix things up that way. And he's going up against a Dallas defense that is ranked dead last in the NFL in passing touchdowns, right? So that bodes well. However, early doors here, I think, a little bit on Jalen Hurts. Carson Wentz is dead and buried now. See you later, Carson. Thanks for the memories. And I get why Philly fans want Jalen Hurts going forwards for all of the reasons I've just said. He's exciting. And the franchise looks at him as box office. I get that. But he's played a couple of games in the NFL. We don't know what we're really getting here. So, you know, buyer beware a little bit. That is an advantage, I guess, for Philly in the sense that there isn't a huge amount of tape on him. This is a Dallas defense that is getting better, right? And Van Der Esch got banged up in the last game. We thought initially that was going to be a horror injury. It turns out not to be, but he might be doubtful here. But it is a defense that is getting better as the season goes on. And offensively, this is a very different proposition to what we saw in week nine. That was Ben DiNucci. What's happened to Ben DiNucci?
What a legend.
Nobody's seen him since. I'm a bit worried if Jerry's... Anyway, I better not go there. So Ben DiNucci was playing, and it was a really banged up offensive line, if you remember, right? There was no Zach Martin. They didn't have a chance in hell, right? So this is going to be, with Dalton and with these weapons around Dalton, a very different proposition. It's an Eagles secondary as well that's banged up. So I think Dallas are going to land some blows. And I think the Zeke factor is fascinating as well. If Zeke is fit, is he going to be, right, I am playing for my gig here. Will Pollard, you know, will they split carries? I don't know. But I look around this Dallas offense, improved line, better defense, which obviously impacts the offense as well. Dalton, immeasurably better than a rookie quarterback in his first game behind a porous offensive line. It's understandable why they are in much better shape than the last two time these two played. And I think they'll land points. But I think with Hurts, so will they. So you probably guess where I'm going here. Leaning again towards the over in this game.
I actually really like the over in this game as well. I think the only reason the line is where it is purely based off the statistics of the Eagles having Wentz under center when they basically couldn't score any points or put up any points. And the Dallas Cowboys when they weren't rolling as well as they are. Now, it sounds like you're leaning towards Dallas as well.
I am, yeah. We were talking about this on WhatsApp, weren't we? And we kind of disagreed. We said we're going to do this game and you like Philly, I like Dallas. I mean, it's no surprise the line is where it is, right? Because it is ostensibly a pick'em.
Yeah.
But I have faith in, to summarize, I guess, the Dallas Cowboys offense being able to land blows against a banged up secondary. I think Dalton will be able to carve up here. And I think Gallup, I know Amari Cooper's been anonymous, but I think he will have a solid game in the air, particularly because I think the ground game could be established as well. And I'm just not convinced that it will be replicated to the same degree by this Eagles offense. Now, like I said, the over is the play I like more, but I like Dallas. In a pick'em, I'm shading Dallas for that reason. I think that their defense is playing a lot better than it has done. And I think offensively, particularly with the secondary right now being banged up for Philly, I think that they've got an edge.
I think Darius Slay might be back though for the Eagles, which would make a big... So keep an eye on that one. He is questionable.
That is huge. Okay.
Yeah, he is questionable at this point, but I think Darius Slay's absence played a big role in their deterioration on passing defense against the Cardinals. I understand the Dallas play, Nat. It's safer.
So, Ollie, I heard you were getting called up for the game to play the secondary. That's why I've kind of led towards Dallas there.
No, well, I think they only wanted me if you could come with, because they heard about how we planned to cover DK Metcalf last week.
That sounds like an
exact kind of thing that we need to stop DeAndre Hopkins. But the problem is you just cost too much. That's the problem.
Well, look, I said to them I'd negotiate some kind of back-ended deal. You know, I'd be happy to sign a one-year Cam-style deal on the basis there would be a firm offer on the table when I demonstrated what a shutdown corner that I am. But you know, they didn't want to listen.
For some reason, they didn't want to pay it.
Unbelievable. No,
I understand the Dallas play. It's Andy Dalton with sensational pieces around him. I think it is the safer play, but to be honest, I've watched both the Saints game and the Cardinals game almost in its entirety because that's how much I enjoyed watching Jalen Hurts move the ball for the Eagles. And he's made this team entertaining again, and I am willing to really buy into it. The team has a running game again, and I think that's massive, giving Miles Sanders the opportunity to work off the play-action game, and he has improved massively in terms of what he's been able to do since Jalen Hurts has been under center, because that's also because Jalen Hurts is incredibly elusive with his legs as well. So I think that they should have some fun on offense, as you have rightly pointed out. He's making Ashon Jeffrey relevant again. Where's he been? Dallas Goedert looks like he's delighted to have Hurts playing. And I honestly think that the only reason that Dallas managed to beat the 49ers last week is because of Nick Mullins. I think that Dallas, they were able to put up that amount of points because they were taking over the ball in 49ers territory about three times during the game. I mean, Nick Mullins threw four interceptions. I think that gave them the opportunity to put up a lot more points than they would have if they'd been pushed back to their own 20-yard line or 30-yard line, and Andy Dalton was going to be responsible for building longer drives. So I think the problem is that Dallas are coming off back-to-back wins. The Eagles are coming off back-to-back much improved performances. So I think both teams are actually probably rated a little bit higher than they should rate them at.
Yeah,
I'm just willing to buy all into Jalen Hurts now. I'm going to buy into the hype. And I think that as much as I completely agree with you on the overplay, I think that's the one which we can cement. Mm. I am just willing to ride Jalen Hurts to the moon right now.
another slogan for our ever-expanding merch fan. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey's been with Ben DiNucci. That's where he's been over the last few weeks. That would explain quite a lot. Look, good argument. I like it. I like the fact we agree to disagree on this. So we're definitely locked in on the over for sure. But hey, let's roll with me going Dallas, you going Philly, and we'll have fun with that. Maybe we should have a wager on this. Maybe there needs to be a kind of forfeit. How do you feel about that? A kind of extra bit of jeopardy on this game.
Okay, yeah, fine. Well, what's it going to be? That's the big question. What is the forfeit going to be?
Well, winner decides, I think.
Okay, fine. Winner decides. Yeah, okay, right, fine. I'm fine with that.
I look forward to that. All right, game number three.
It is Sunday Night Football. It is one of the best passing teams in the NFL against one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. It is Green Bay against the Tennessee Titans. The Packers, 3 points favorites in this one. The over-under line is at 56.5. They are expecting points galore in Vegas, but that is not surprising. 11 out of 14 of the Titans games have gone over the point total. They, as a defense, are giving up 25.8 points per game and have recorded a league low 14 sacks. That is absolutely terrifying when you're going up against an Aaron Rodgers who has thrown 40 touchdowns against four interceptions. Am I right in saying that? This might change after the Carolina game, but this definitely was correct prior to the Panthers game. Aaron Rodgers has thrown more touchdowns than the Packers have punted the ball.
I love that. I'm certain he has. He's only been sacked 18 times as well. Deshaun Watson gets sacked that many times in two games. So, I mean, look, let's look at that first of all, because for me, that is one of the fundamental matchups here, because there are lots of reasons why Green Bay are as explosive, or certainly as effective, maybe it's a better definition, in terms of the passing game. And Rodgers is the primary reason why, but it helps that he's got such a good offensive line there that is protecting him so well. And this is not a good Tennessee defense, certainly in terms of getting to the quarterback, certainly in terms of sacking the quarterback. They are bottom of the NFL. 14 sacks is all they've managed to muster. They're giving up almost 26 points a game as well. We've talked about this on the pod for many a week, and not just that reaction to that crazy first half against the Cleveland Browns, right? This is a defense that is surprisingly erratic given it's a Mike Vrabel team. And even though there aren't and haven't really been that many superstars in this team over the years since Vrabel's taken over, you could count on them being ruthlessly efficient throughout the D. And they are not that at the moment. They at times are playing well, but at times are horrendously bad. And they are missing, quite clearly, any kind of effective edge, no pun intended, up front, right? So that is going to be key. Can they somehow manage to apply a bit more pressure there? It's no surprise their pass D's ranked in the bottom five in the NFL. Those two things are obviously connected. So that doesn't bode well for Tennessee. The flip side of this, of course, is that offensively, as you pointed out, they're absolutely balling. But it isn't as simple as, well, if Derrick Henry plays well, then they've got a fighting chance. But obviously, if Henry is, they are able to establish him against the Packers, that opens up the play action, and that opens up a passing game that's getting stronger and stronger and stronger throughout the season, just as it looked last year. And that was the key to their success last year. Much more balanced offensively than you might suggest, or one might suggest, and thinks it's all about Henry. He runs for 200 yards a game, three touchdowns. No, of course, he's fundamental to that success. But Tannehill is as organized and composed as you can get in the NFL. And he's got some big weapons around him with AJ Brown and with Corey Davis. So how does Henry stack up against this run D? Well, it's a good Packers run D. They've allowed just 204 rushing yards on 54 carries in their three wins in December. That's under 4 yards an attempt. Now, very different proposition against Derrick Henry. Is that likely to change? Yes, quite possibly. But this all trends very nicely to me towards the Packers.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to back Titans here, you are a brave man. Are you ready for one of those statistics that takes you back through time, Nat?
Love it. Let's go.
Since the start of the 2009 season, Rodgers is 20-2 straight up in December in games played at Lambeau Field, and he's 17-5 against the spread.
Wow. Which means he's lost twice in that period of time. So it can happen. That's how ridiculous those historic. No, it can happen.
20-2 is crazy, though, in December.
That is crazy.
That is ridiculous. The man is clearly loves the cold weather, and that makes it an intriguing proposition going into Sunday Night Football. Do you know what's even more intriguing, Nat? Money's been coming in on Tennessee. This line opened up at 3.5 and has now moved down to 3.
Interesting. Look, I really like the Titans. You know I do. I think they are, as we chatted about on the pod a few weeks back with OC, he was saying, look, I think they are the team that are most likely to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I buy into that a lot. I have gone on record for a long time, even when they weren't winning that many games. Huge fan of Vrabel, huge fan of this organization. Love Tannehill. I think he's really underrated. All round, I like this team. So Titans fans out there, don't get me wrong when I say he's on paper leaning towards the Packers, because, and that's the kicker here, right? For all of those reasons I gave, you think, okay, they're shaving it. But if Henry goes off, if they suddenly rack up, you know, 3 scores in the first 20 minutes of this game and blaze into like a 21-7 lead or something, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if this Titans team goes off and puts Rodgers in a bit of a hole. I've got one for you, Al, because I know how much you love the percentage win chances. Where do you think ESPN rank the Titans, or rather what percentage chance they give the Titans to win this game?
I'm going to go with, if I just work out, there's a calculator in my head somewhere. Mm. 3-point underdogs, 37%.
Wow, that is bang on the money, Op. 37.4.
No way, really?
Amazing work. I love the 0.4 as well.
I can't believe I missed out on the 0.4. That's poor from me. I'll work on that.
How do we feel about... How do we feel about the over? Because, I mean, Tennessee scored 40 or more points four times this season. So maybe it will be one of those games. Even though the line is dangerously high, I wonder if it does go off.
I've got to confess to something here now. We're recording on the Wednesday. Mm. When I saw this game was the Sunday Night Football, as soon as the line opened, it actually opened at 54.5.
Wow, and you got in.
Yeah, I got in. I knew it was just going to keep going up. There's no reason why these two teams shouldn't put up at least 25 points each, and I think that will trend in the closer direction of the 30s. I think both offenses will be rolling. But I think you make the great point. I think this game is going to be won on who takes the lead first. I don't think Tennessee will be able to make a comeback against Green Bay, I think. But if they can put up the points early, if they can establish the run and chew the clock, then I don't think the Packers will be able to have simply the time of possession to come back. So I think this is basically won or lost in the first quarter of this game.
It's a great point you make. The Titans are not a team that is built to come back from too far behind. The Packers, on the other hand, are, but on the basis that they can get on the field to do it. So that is a fascinating matchup, right? I don't feel strongly about either play here. The fact that it's the festive season, and the reason I think the line is going up, the over under the totals line is going up and up and up, is because it always happens Sunday Night Football over Christmas, right? Everybody piles in on the
over. Yeah, that is true. That is true. So that's an interesting one to look at going into Sunday, is that because it's Christmas weekend, because everyone's at home, everyone's going to be watching football, then there's going to be a lot more money coming in, or a lot more bets coming in than you'd usually see, which means that for sharps like yourself, Nat,
thanks, bud,
there should be more value. I mean, naturally, I think the line in Dallas will probably just move in purely based on the fact that people see the Dallas Cowboys and think, oh yeah, they're probably
absolutely right. I mean, there's something. Hey, look, we can get into that in the off season. We'll, I'm sure, talk more about theory. We're going to have to, because there won't be any games on. But you know, talk more theory and angles. You know, like that. Dallas are absolutely that team that the public just piling on that. Yeah, the Cowboys, they always score a lot of points. But as I've said, I really like the over in that game. All right, so any strong ones on this?
I'm happy with taking the over 54.5, 56.5. I'd probably still be tempted by it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I still think initially I was liking Tennessee at +3.5, just purely based on the fact that I think they're one of the best football teams in the NFL, and I think being 3-point underdogs is very tempting. But at the same time, when you break it down, it's just going to be a case of whether they can stop Aaron Rodgers in the secondary, and I don't think they're going to be able to. So I think I'd probably stay away from the point spread in this one, just purely based off that fact.
Okay, fair. I like it. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and especially for NFL fans, with a feast of games over Christmas. Betfred will have a feast of offers available on the biggest games, including San Francisco, Arizona, on Boxing Day. Head to the Betfred app or betfred.com to check them out. Offers made available on selected games at Betfred's discretion. Limited times only. Stakes may vary. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. Time for your prop bets of the week, Propo. Two this week. Which way are we looking?
Two this week. I have one for you on Saturday and one for you on Sunday. We are going to start with the Saturday games. I'm going for anytime touchdown scorer bets this week after my success with Mark Andrews. That one was a little bit nervy, only because it seemed that everyone else on the Ravens team had already scored a touchdown before Andrews. And that was making me a little bit nervous, but he got there in the end. So that was a good win. I am starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Detroit Lions, and I expect Mike Evans to score a touchdown. The Detroit Lions are one of the weakest passing defenses in the league. I mean, let's be honest, they're one of the weakest defenses in the league overall. And as we said, I think the Bucs are starting to get this offense rolling, and I think Mike Evans is going to really take advantage of that. He had 100 plus yards last week, but the one thing he has been missing over the last 2 weeks is a touchdown, and I think he will be looking to rectify that against a weak Detroit Lions passing defense in the red zone. He's already scored 11 touchdowns this year. Can you believe it? That is an incredible record for Mike Evans. So he is an established target for Brady when he's down the field, and I expect him to take advantage of this matchup.
Love that, Ol. And your second one?
My second one is, can you believe it? I am going with the Los Angeles Chargers. The in-form team right now, after their big win on Thursday Night Football. Everyone's saying that Anthony Lynn is a genius. No, not really.
But we were talking about this. We're going to come back to this, I know.
Yeah, we'll come back to this. We'll come back. We'll get into this in a second. But yeah, I am going with Austin Ekeler to score a touchdown the Los Angeles Chargers against the Denver Broncos in this divisional matchup. In the last two games, the Denver Broncos have allowed 6 rushing touchdowns. And since Austin Ekeler has returned to this LA offense, he has helped their efficiency massively. And I don't think it's any surprise that since he's come back, they have seen a lot more success moving the ball on the ground. And also in terms of just winning games, I think once you can establish a run game that allows Justin Herbert to have more time, they can open up with a play action game. And I think Austin Ekeler has been incredibly vital to what these LA Chargers have been able to do over the past couple of weeks. But again, similar to Mike Evans, the one thing that he has been missing is a touchdown. And I expect against this Denver Broncos team, who love to give up touchdowns on the ground, that Austin Ekeler will rectify that. He's also incredibly prolific in the receiving game as well. So even if he doesn't manage to get a red zone score, or they go to Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson in the red zone, I still expect him to have a very, very good chance of scoring, purely based on the fact that Justin Herbert looks to him, whether it be for a run play or a pass play. So I think Austin Ekeler has a great chance to score a touchdown.
Love that. Two classics from Prop O. Best luck with those. All right, time for our money line treble of the week, our ACCA of the week. 3 teams straight up. Oh, we've got 4 in a row. It is a lot of pressure now. This is when, with all this international attention on our pod, on our ACCA of the week, this is when the pressure really starts to count. This is what separates the great from the good. Oh, so you ready? You set?
Yeah, I'm pumped up. Yeah,
I can see that. It's like I can see you right in the middle of a huddle, pre-game, Drew Brees style, just hyping up the edge rush team there with that kind of I'm pumped up. All right. First up, Tampa Bay. This is a no-brainer, as you very eloquently describe. It's one of the worst defenses, Detroit, in the NFL right now, and we are buying into this Tampa Bay team, despite the fact it's got a lot of detractors. I think offensively, a brilliant second half performance from them against Atlanta, against a decent Atlanta side when they were in a hole. I think that should be a hell of a lot. And yes, I get it is maddening that they are that Jekyll and Hyde, but I've been buying into them for a while. I think the idea of writing off Brady with this amount of weapons around him when he's a new quarterback in a new offense and an offense that has had a very fractious preseason to learn, they're only going to get better and better and better. I think they're timing it right and they're going to be a dangerous proposition in the playoffs. They certainly take easy, easy care of the Detroit Lions. So Tampa Bay up front.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what Detroit Lions are going to do with all of those Tampa Bay Buccaneers pieces. I think that one is a great shout. Our second one is, and it seems to be a running theme for the edge rush ACCA, we are backing the Cleveland Browns to beat the New York Jets. Listen to this, Nat. Baker Mayfield has thrown 1 interception in his last 7 games. Who would have thought it?
There is a very interesting piece on Baker Mayfield and how Stefanski has got him playing the way he has over on Pro Football Focus. So, you know, even though we're company men and, of course, we big up our ESPN stuff, we look at other news sites as well. And I think that's well worth the read if you have time.
Yeah, and the balance on this offense is simply superb. The defensive line is one of the best in football. The running game is one of the best in football. And although, Nat, this is 2020, not even this year do I see the New York Jets beating playoff teams in back-to-back weeks.
Agreed.
Yeah, it can't happen.
I quite like the line as a result of that as well, actually, that everyone's kind of underplaying the Browns a bit because the Jets won. I wonder whether they'll go off against them, Cleveland, that is.
I mean, if the New York Jets spoil our accumulator record run, then I'll just hold my hands up and just say, yeah, that just sums up 2020 in a nutshell.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's a great point. Is this our last ACCA of the week? Of the year, I mean, it is, isn't it? Because our next one will be, we'll be in 2021. So, yeah, that's going to happen now. You've absolutely locked that in, that the Jets are going to break our run. All right, so I love that for sure. Now, this is the most contentious one of the three, right? But we're looking at this, and let's be honest, we're looking at trying to get value of some kind here with a moneyline treble, right? So kind of pushing it at least over evens. Otherwise, you know, there's not a huge amount of edge there. And so, and I'm not sure if we are in entire lockstep with this, but let's find out. So I like the Chargers against Denver, and I like them for a number of reasons, but simply put, I think the negativity around Anthony Lynn is probably to the most part fair. At the same time, somebody was talking the other day on, and apologies, it was a pod I was listening to, I can't remember, it might have been Lombardi and Adnan Burke on theirs. Either way, made the point and reminded me this was a playoff side 2 years ago. Anthony Lynn was a playoff coach 2 years ago. Now, I know he has fundamental shortcomings. It just seems to be a crazily uniform narrative that he's got to go. Now they've got Justin Herbert. He's got to go. He can't possibly move this team forward. I'm not sure I totally believe in that. I wonder whether there is an argument to say continuity, let's give him another year. It's exactly the same principle, I think, with the Raiders, and everybody immediately forgot that Derek Carr was a Pro Bowl, heading in certainly in the MVP conversation a few years back before he got injured and the line got injured, and then bam, and suddenly a year on, Carr's terrible and Gruden doesn't rate him and he's out of blah, 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 blah. So I just wonder whether it might be worth, in this generation that we're in, where everybody's quick to kick somebody to the curb, quick to forget that maybe, look, if there is a red hot option for a head coach that you know, if Bieniemy, right, is there and they can get him, that would be interesting interdivisionally, but, you know, understood, right? I get it. But if there isn't a particularly sure thing, you know, if they've got the equivalent of Matt Patricia type, you know, somebody that's bounced around a bit, hasn't had much success elsewhere, why I wouldn't make the change. So I just wanted to say that about Anthony Lynn. And I guess the broader conversation of continuity in the NFL, I think teams should maybe emphasize that a little bit more than they do. In this game, it just comes down to the Broncos, and I know they've tripped us up a few times. There's just no real identity to them offensively. I just can't see them keeping up with the Chargers. I appreciate the danger and the trap component here, but I just think Herbert and this Chargers offense is going to be far too strong, and I just don't see the Broncos keeping up.
Yeah, I think I have to say, Nat, when you first proposed to me that we were going to include the LA Chargers going against the Denver Broncos in our money line treble, I did wonder what you'd been smoking in that pipe of yours. But at the same time, my only issues is does bring me back to flashbacks of when I was so convinced that the Miami Dolphins would beat the Denver Broncos, and obviously they failed them, just because everything does make sense when you think about the LA Chargers beating the Denver Broncos here, just purely based off the two runs these teams are on, the balance on offense and defense right now. I mean, the LA Chargers have actually put in some very good performances, I think, although they got torn apart by Marcus Mariota, but I think that was partly due to the fact they had no idea that Marcus Mariota was going to play, and they were preparing for a Derek Carr, and they got a man who could run on the ground much better than Derek Carr. So I think that plays a part of it. So I think their defense actually put up a really good performance against the Falcons a couple of weeks ago, two key interceptions at big times.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. And I think comes down to it. I think this game could easily come down to the final possession. I think Denver could easily keep this one quite tight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I'm going to pick between if Drew Lock's leading the team, needing to make a score to win the game, I don't back him. Yeah. If Justin Herbert needs to do that, I'm backing him.
Yeah,
and I think this is what this comes down to at the end of the day, irrespective of Anthony Lynn, who I think he has improved in recent weeks, and purely based on the fact that, you know, I am not a Drew Lock fan, but I am a massive Justin Herbert fan. I like this call.
Good. I'm glad you're on board with that. And look, it's worth pointing out to listeners that we were looking for a bit of value here. As I said, they're probably safer plays, and you know, you can listen to some of the other things we've talked about and other teams that we've talked about and games we've talked about, and maybe, you know, interchange the Chargers with a safer play for slightly less juice. But Bucks, Browns, Chargers.
It's Christmas.
Roll the dice. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Lovely stuff, Propo. Well, season's greetings to you. Imagine we worked together all this time. Season's greetings, Ollie.
Have a good Christmas, Nat. Hope you're well.
Yeah, hope. Yeah, how are you? Yeah, hope you're keeping well. Listen, bud, I'll have a fantastic Christmas. Make sure, as an absolute given, you're watching Muppets Christmas Carol at least once, right? And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's not even a suggestion. It's an order.
If I have time, you know, the research never sleeps, Nat. I'm not going to take Christmas Day off, am I?
No, of course not.
It's a Friday.
Going
into a week of Sunday games. How can I afford to take that Friday off?
Working on those spreadsheets, working on those just piles and piles of data. I think you could have it on in the background. You could have have a bit of Fozzy on in the background. Have a great one. We are back with Iron Mike, of course, to look back at week 16. Iron Mike dropping by for the review show. We've got some great guests lined up coming your way over the next couple of weeks as well. All of your faves, Iron Mike, Jay Bell, Ben Isaacs, all coming up over the coming weeks. And if you haven't already, listen to our week 16 preview pod with Marek Lawa, but that is out there somewhere in the ether. So make sure you check in on that. Happy Christmas, Proper, to all of you out there. Have a good one. We'll see you on the other side.